And a very good morning to you all. We are still here in Milton Milbay live on this the week of School Sorrow, Willie Clancy, and live from our Clare FM Outside broadcast unit with regards to water here in the town. A text are very disappointed that Irish Water was allowed to close the Rockman plant before the upgrade to the pipe had taken place. It is absolutely ridiculous that the town might be back soon enough after a burst, but there's people outside of the town up to 5 days without water after one particular break. This should not have been allowed. A lot of frustration on this, as we have often covered on the programme in the past. We have our second competition to come with the Burn Food Trail ahead of the John Blake Dillon event in Ballyvaughan next week. Details on that to come. A reminder, we're looking for the answer to our competition question, which is asking for you to tell us what birthday would have been celebrated by Willie Clancy, were he still with us. A very important one, a round one. I can give you no more clues than that, but figure it out and send us in the answer, 086 1800 964. You could win a month's supply of either Revive Active or another one of their products, Beauty Complex. Get in touch now. Our Friday panel are with us here in our outside broadcast unit. We'll meet them in a moment, but first, a reminder of some of the main news stories of the past few days.
Every vote cast for me will be a vote for strong and stable leadership.
Far from strong and stable, there are ministers overboard and the ship is listing.
What we haven't had for many months is a clear British negotiating position, a clear mandate for their negotiators to try to make progress on. And I think what's been very positive about this week is that we do now have that.
The truth is, I'm not exactly stuck for something to do. But the point is that it is the best way I consider that I could spend the next 7 years of my life.
There's an election from now. So it's my view that he really has to step back from the use of the state assets with respect to where he goes and what he does. It's coming home, it's coming
home, it's coming, football's coming. Devastating for England, but undoubtedly they were beaten by the better team. A 2-1 defeat, there'll be no World Cup final for England.
Poor England indeed. We'll be talking about that in a short while. Their World Cup dream came to an end this week. Over 1.1 million people tuning in on RTE alone to watch that particular match, their defeat of Croatia. You also heard there at the top from British Prime Minister Theresa May, from Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn, and from our Taoiseach to Simon Coveney on Brexit, and from President Higgins as he announced his intention to run for a second term in office, and Gerard Crockwell, one of those, a senator who wants to run against him. We'll talk about those stories and more in a short while. I'm joined here in our outside broadcast unit this morning by Bob Vernon, a retired Anglican minister and part of the West Clare Taking Care Group, John Considine, a former Hull City councillor, and also by Rosemary Day. She is the head of Department of Media and Communications in Mary Immaculate College from the Yard here in Milton Malbay, and our favourite guest of the day because you brought us ice cream. So good morning to you all, and thanks very much for joining us. We'll get on to those stories in a while, but Bob, I'll start off with yourself. Just generally, how are things here in Milton Malbay? How is everything in West Clare? And this is probably the high point of the summer.
Well, I was in England actually for the last month, but I came back for Willie Clancy because it's just, you know, you can't miss Willie Clancy. And the talk on the streets are always not quite as busy, but, you know, quantity isn't everything. People are enjoying themselves. My guests are having a great time. They're over the moon about their teachers and tutors. And so, yeah, I'm a great Willie Clancy fan.
OK. Numbers aren't everything, Rosemary Day, but they are if you're in business like you are here locally. How important is this week and how is this week going?
Well, this week would be between a quarter and a third of the income for many of the businesses here in town. Certainly for us. We're in the Yard. It's a restaurant, you know, pizzas, ice cream, all homemade, all that sort of stuff, which is hard work. But for us, for sure, it would be not just the biggest week of the year, but it's crucial. I think, like a lot of small villages around the coast, and it must be worse inland, it's very, very hard to keep things going. You know, there are only so many people living in a town. So we depend a lot on tourists and people going through the Wild Atlantic Way and all of that. But I honestly believe that without the Willie Clancy Summer School, that the town would be in very bad shape. I mean, I'm not going to name neighbouring towns that have no post office, no maybe only one pub opening at 6 o'clock in the evening, no grocery store. But Milton Malbay would be heading that direction if it wasn't for the Willie Clancy Summer School. And I must say, in memory of Muireadh Ó Rócán and Una Ní Rócán, fabulous people who the town really misses. They were great friends. They were wonderful people. Gael Gorey, Coulthard, you know, just fantastic people. But they've left a legacy that is beyond... People talk about culture, but they've left an economic legacy here. People are able to stay and live in Milltown Malbay because of this one week, which to, if anybody is not from Clare and has listened to this, they'd find that's hard to believe. But the spin-off from the week is such that people come to live here because of the music. People know about Doolin, you know, foreigners and that, but really the home of Irish music is here in Milltown Malbay. And I often say to customers when they come into the yard that if they've just come down from Doolin, oh, that's great, you know, and no offence to Doolin up there, but you know, when the musicians are finished playing a session in Doolin that they've been paid for, they come down here to play for pleasure. And this week, beyond all else, I mean, just every single pub, any spare space, we have like four big rooms in the yard, and there have been two or three days where there's been a session going on in each one. And just last night I went up after we'd closed the whole shop. This was the guards, I listened, was quite late. And I went up to the upstairs room where the bulbs had blown. And as I was coming up the stairs, I was saying, I must be really exhausted. I can still hear music. And there was a piper and two fiddles still belting away upstairs. So I'm afraid we had
to... Do we want to know what time that was?
Early morning.
Fair enough, that's okay. No, just before the whatever the licence is. Nobody in trouble. But I suppose... I'd be a big supporter, John, of any event like this. I mean, this is it on a bigger scale than most, but any local festival which draws out a crowd, very important economically. Important from a community point of view as well, though.
Well, my grandparents came from Doolock, and of course they had Fahey's Pub here in Milltown, so we've always been associated with Milltown. I was born in Cree, which is just down the road, and Milltown was a very important part of our life. It was a beautiful town. It always has been, actually. It's always clean. It's always well set out. The people are friendly. And it is, obviously, there's a bit of rivalry between Milltown Malbay and other places, but it is a fantastic place. Mm-hmm. And it's one of, I think it's probably, when you go through Milltown, I mean, you can stop, talk to people, there's places to eat, places to drink. You know, it is nice and it's pleasant, and I'm delighted in a way that it brings a bit of revenue in over this period. But next year, I would think that I would hope that the people of Milltown Malbay would tie it in with what's going on the Hinch, put on events here, and maybe that was something that will carry on.
It was something I wanted to, I didn't get a chance to ask Kerry Hughes about it, but the Irish Open Golf coming to Lahinch.
Massive.
It's on the same time, virtually.
It will take, I think it'll just be Galway, Limerick, Clare. It'll be the whole lot. I mean, you look at what happened in Donegal this last week. Absolutely incredible. I think
25,000 people a day going into the
it's incredible. And I hope it's, I mean, Lahinch itself is a beautiful place. I mean, all the area around North Lahinch is fantastic. And I think it, I hope they benefit from it, and I'm sure they will. And people will come back in years to come.
But then going back to my initial question, away from, like, next year will be very big, this week is important, but on a regular, quote-unquote, week in August or in February, how are things in this area? I spoke with Councillor Hillary in the last hour and asked him kind of about the recovery or non-recovery in some parts of Clare. I mean, it's still the case that a lot of areas are on their knees.
I think that's one of the problems, isn't it? I mean, when I was a young person, I went to England because basically there wasn't any work. I mean, things have improved. I mean, now there is more business and more people working in Shannon and places like that. But it's always a difficulty. If you live out in a rural area, you haven't got what other people have got. I mean, in Dublin, there is jobs everywhere. Here, a lot of these jobs are seasonal. And, you know, come the end of September or whatever, then people go back in the unemployment register. Yeah. And it is tough. So you've got to make the best of what you've got when you can.
That's very true, because most of the jobs around here are depend on the tourist trade, whether it be B&Bs or hotels or restaurants or pubs or whatever. Mm. And one of the things Milltown really needs is some kind of an industry. A good few years ago, there was the great idea of the E-Town, and those buildings were left empty for years and years and years. They're occupied now, but they were sold off at rock-bottom prices. And the problem there, I think, is poor planning, because somebody got a great idea that we would be the information village when Ennis was going to be the information town, and we didn't have broadband. I mean, the buildings were finished, you know. So you have to say, have someone joined up thinking. We had a really great community meeting here about 3 weeks ago, just across the road from the Coaster now, in the Hollow. And there was really good representation, and it wasn't just about building business, which, of course, you know, the publicans and ourselves and the yard and people in the food industry and B&Bs, and they were all there. But the main thrust of it was what to do for ourselves in Milltown outside of the summer for the winter. And some of the biggest issues, you mentioned it there, Gavin, was the water. I mean, that's crucial for business. It's also crucial for Spree, for the early childcare. Well, we couldn't open last Friday because we had no water. You can't serve food with no water. I mean, we couldn't be safe and open. So we lost one full day of the Willie Clancy Week, which is huge. 2 years ago, it went on a Thursday. I went down the queue with people saying, in case they were queuing for coffee rather than something else, and I said, you know, like, we have ice cream, we have this, we have that, but we don't have any coffee. I'm sorry, we've no water. Mm. And one poor woman, and it wasn't even hot, but one poor woman said, but I just want tea. And I was left looking at her like Basil Fawlty, we have no water.
Yeah.
But how do you manage when you've no water? What if you have somebody elderly and sick at home, or you have small babies in nappies? Yeah, you know, it's just not healthy. The other thing we really need is a bus. Mm. We have a bus that leaves Milltown at 8:30 in the morning.
So this morning,
and it comes back. Well, you were lucky. because it only appears once a day, and it comes back from Ennis at 3:30. Now, that is no good to anybody who's working. It's no good to a school kid. It's no good to somebody going to college. It's no good to somebody who doesn't have a car. And how do you have a car if, as John says, you know, you don't have the employment and you don't have the money for it?
Yeah, yeah.
So we really need employment. It could be higher tech, but we need joined up thinking. And we have one woman here in town, I'd like to name her, Eileen Ryan, who is amazing. And she is, I'd say, the heart of the community. She runs the Tidy Towns. Mm. She gets people together. She puts herself, she'll kill me now, she puts herself to the back all the time, but she really brings people together. And at that meeting, as I said, there were about maybe 50 people.
Okay. And every town needs these things. I often hear the call, and Rosemary's not wrong on what she's saying, Bobby, but you often hear the call, we need X, Y, and Z. But to formally make that call to push the right people for action is another step altogether.
Yes, it is.
And to make sure that you're at top of the queue, which is also the battle.
Trouble, it's always competitive, isn't it? That's part of the trouble. But I will say, I came to Milltown 6 years ago for one reason. It's a community. And despite the economic ups and downs, it remains a community. And that's why I love this place. And it is, as you say, it's due to some individuals, but also there's just a general feeling in Milltown. There is a coherence and there is a sense of community, and I hope the development of the new community centre will build on that and give more resources for that. But it's also a place of great needs, you know. But needs and community go together. People respond to needs as a community, and it does happen here. I'm very proud of Milltown.
You're not the only person to say that, Bob. There's an author people might know, Roisin Meany. She's just published her 15th novel. Mm. And she moved to Milltown last October. And her latest novel, The Anniversary, she actually dedicated to the people of Milltown Malbay for their lovely warm welcome. So I think, you know, that's pretty good. I hope.
For all the bits we can give out of it, John, is there reason to be optimistic?
Yeah, I think there is, yeah. I mean, if you look at places like Ireland, I mean, people retire here now. You've got an older generation in the UK. People love coming to Ireland. Since we've been here, the amount of people who come to visit, volunteered for the FLA last year, come over and they did it for free. I mean, they do love the music. And when you go around the pubs, I mean, we've got a pub near where I live in Crasheen, a thatched pub. Best pint in Ireland, they tell you. And when people go in there, they say, yes, it is. It's absolutely unbelievable.
So there is.
But I know, but I think this is the thing. It's got all these little things in Ireland you wouldn't get anywhere else. Okay. And when you go to Doolin, I mean, Doolin is fantastic. Mm. I mean, my granddaughter was across to the islands for the Gaelic, you know, the 3 weeks. And to go up there to do it, when the music was on, and to go across, it was fantastic. And even when you get there, you know, it's a fantastic place to be. And I think if you've got good weather in Ireland, you'd be swamped. Oh, you'd absolutely be. The population
if
would
we could, if we could only have it. Lovely country if you.
This week, I have to say. Yeah,
lovely country if you could only roof her. We'll be back with more in a minute. A couple of minutes. We'll talk politics, we'll talk sport and more. We'd love your thoughts, though, too, on the topics we're talking about today. 086 1800 964.
Clare FM's Morning Focus. The voice of the Banner County. If it matters to you, let us know. Contact us now, 1850 400 964 or email focus@clare.fm.
I'm asked to give a shout out to Clare Cares Over 65s Club. They're having a coffee morning today until 12 at the Coonan Clare Day Centre. Good luck, guys. Good morning to you all. Hope that you're all well. Our Friday panel are still here with me in our outside broadcast unit. And Milltown Malbay, Bob Vernon, John Considine and Rosemary Day are with us, John, on a week which has seen turmoil, I guess, with regards to Brexit. Two senior cabinet members resigning, Theresa May still holding on and indeed putting up an embattled performance in the House of Commons this week. And yet Simon Coveney, looking at it from an Irish point of view, reckons because there's been some movement and because she's standing up to her ministers, that it's been a good week for Brexit. I was a bit baffled by that.
Well, Gavin, I told you the last time I was on here that David Davis would be gone by June. I was a week out.
Yeah.
David, I've known David since the 90s, and he's got a terrible reputation for when there's a bit of pressure on, he runs away. He did when he was Shadow Home Secretary. He resigned and caused a by-election and did all sorts of things. He's that sort of person. He wasn't the right person for the job. And there was no commitment. He spent, if you look at some of the people who were involved, he spent 4 hours in the last 2 years negotiating.
Oh, no, that's not fair.
Oh, he did.
I think it's just this year.
This year, well, I don't think he did anything at all last year, probably. But he is that sort of person. And Boris had no choice but to go. Because Boris, when the most important vote in Boris's career was taking place about the runway extension at Heathrow.
Yeah.
He was in Zimbabwe or somewhere, running away.
So making sure
remember,
he was out of town,
he's got a small majority. If there was an election tomorrow, Boris would go.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And this is 100%. The guy who has been talked about as a potential prime minister.
Yeah, but I mean, look at what
Trump.
By Trump, yeah. And by even, sort of right-wing lunatics like himself.
But even in the media, you hear that, or Jacob Rees-Mogg, you know.
Oh,
those
yeah,
are,
from Jake, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, but those are the people that get touted as
I mean,
those
Jacob was he was a joke politician. You know, up to a few months ago.
Boris.
I mean,
Donald Trump. None of us took it.
Yeah,
and this is the problem, you know. We sit and laugh. I'm never going to laugh again because I remember when Donald Trump was even nominated. I said, God, that's ridiculous. That's a protest. That's a joke. Or they've got some strategy there because he's going to fail so spectacular that something we haven't quite seen, you know, these great minds. No. And, you know, the media have to take some of the blame too. Yeah. We kind of all ran away with ourselves. And we're so busy in America laughing that this buffoon or whatever.
But to be able to stand up though yesterday and to go to be invited to your home for dinner and then have a knife pointing in your stomach and then putting it in, which the headlines in the Sun this morning in terms of what happened with Theresa May. I mean, that's the sort of person he is. He's not a politician, and I accept that totally. He's a business person, and you know, he's a businessman. He looks at things from a business point of view, which is the issue with North Korea and all the other things that he's been involved with recently. Donald Trump is no friend of Britain. Make absolutely no mistake. What he wants to do is he wants Britain out of the European community so the standards will drop and then they can start sending their horrible meat and chicken into the UK and other places. What it's about.
But if you're in the States, that might be what you want your president to do, which is something we have to bear in mind as well. As an Englishman, Bob, watching on what's been happening in Westminster, how does it make you feel?
Actually, at the moment, it makes me feel better because there is movement. I mean, the soft Brexit that Theresa May is as soft as water now. It's taking any shape it can take. As Darryl O'Brien said the other night on television, we will not be part of the custom union. What we want is a sort of union custom. It's just getting softer and softer and softer. But anyway, everyone who should have been consulted 2 years, we're 2 years into this. The senior civil servants, business, academics, science, art, if they'd been consulted, they said, step right back. This is going to be a total disaster.
But did we not hear that during the campaign?
No,
people ignored it anyway.
No, we didn't hear it during the
referendum.
They never told
to lose.
We didn't hear it during the referendum, to be honest. But now we are hearing it. And I think we probably will have a change of government. And what I hope is that the new government also changes, because I think we have great opportunities. We could have a Canada-style trade deal. You know, Canada, they're free from 98% of the tariffs. Yeah? We could have a Norwegian agreement where we're part of all these European institutions that we need to be part of. These are absolutely open if we have someone who will go for it. And I think that's what I'm hoping for.
Well, Bob, if you look at it realistically, who are you going to go for? If Theresa May resigned tomorrow, they would be looking for Rees-Mogg or Boris.
Yeah.
Both of them are completely discredited.
But they haven't got support in the Tory party.
They haven't got support. I mean, his support has dropped now to 15%.
It feels like it's going to be paralysis, regardless of whether she stays or goes.
But if they have an election tomorrow, who's going to get in? Jeremy Corbyn. Now, I've been a Labour County Councillor for 31 years, and I know what Jeremy's like. And Jeremy has got no policies in Europe either, because he's never wanted to be part of Europe. He's been quite happy to be part of Europe for the things he did for the trade unions and all the rest of it, and I support a lot of that. But he's never been a European. He's never been totally integrated into Europe, and that's a fact of life, and you've got to accept that. So he could be your alternative.
Rosemary, you, in your other job, are covering media and various different strands, and obviously in Mary Immaculate College as well, where they're the head of the department there. Talk to me, as you see it, about the media coverage, particularly in Britain, of Brexit, and does that precipitate some of the problems we're talking about here? For the last few minutes, and I've asked a question, so if I'm wrong, I'll put my hands up here. I've talked about the political sideshow, the Punch and Judy as to who's there, where there's massively important issues. Our finance minister said 40,000 jobs could go if there's a hard Brexit this week, and I'm talking about who's going to stay in power. Does the media portray this in a way that isn't maybe fully informing the country?
Not informative at all. And I mean, we all know that things are becoming, you know, dumbed down to the stage where they're, you know, dumb gets dumber. But in Britain, I think the media are particularly at fault because they don't give any information at all. It's all these, you know, fantastic headlines, and it's kind of like a competition. It's almost like an in-joke to see who can have the worst headline or whatever, or the most shocking headline.
The Sun headline today, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what you're just saying, John. There you go, spot on. And, you know, what happens there then is that people have less and less information to make up their mind and to know about, and people are saying, oh, you know, with social media, people can research, you know, can know more, but they don't, because the false, it doesn't even have to be fake news, but a false bit of information or a twist or a spin on something becomes the fact then, and it goes, as I say, viral. So the problem in Britain for so long, and going back right to the referendum, it was sold of, on the idea of British power and British pride and British isolationism. Nationalism. Yeah, which is very close to, you know, old-fashioned fascism in the way it's been iterated. But it also, on the other hand, it does appeal to people, because particularly when people have been in recession, as we all were at the time, it gives you something to feel good about yourself with, you know, hating somebody else or whatever. And the idea that all of these people who were coming into Britain were stealing their jobs, and now, of course, they've nobody to pick fruit, and they've nobody to work in restaurants, and they've nobody to work in cleaning toilets and hospitals, etc. But there's an awful, and I'm going to be maybe racist myself in this, but there seems to me to be an awful arrogance that's quite deep-rooted in English culture, which is that a lack of ability to say, maybe we got that wrong. And I think that that's one of the differences, say, between the Irish or the Portuguese or some of the smaller countries in the EU. They can say, well, you know what, we didn't get that fully right, or we can compromise.
Yeah,
but large powers like Britain and France and Germany are so used to being in charge that they don't have to accommodate others.
But,
you know,
but in terms of we got it wrong, then you get the Nice referendum vote all over again until you get the right answer.
Yeah, well, go back and vote until you vote the right way.
Exactly.
But
right.
I would think that
the problem.
Yeah, but Bob, I don't think a referendum.
Is it going to happen?
Well, I think it should happen, but I think if it was to happen.
Absolutely, it is going to happen.
But it's too soon.
Who's going to call it?
It's too soon right now, though. It needs another year, and then it'll change.
What we need is they'll put forward a plan which will be rejected by Parliament.
That's right, yeah.
First of all, it will be rejected by Parliament.
Yeah.
Then there's a change of government, and that government will say we need a referendum. And this will be conducted in a much more responsible way than the last one.
Really?
There was no preparation.
Yes, really.
If you look, the 650 MPs, 300 of them are anti-Europe. 50 are extreme right-wingers. 50 MPs are extreme right-wingers. They've brought five prime ministers, Tory prime ministers, down. It's not just Theresa May. Theresa May is just there because there's nobody else at the moment that can be trusted. Yeah. She's not there because she can do the job. Yeah. Everybody knows she's been weakened. She goes to Europe now. This white paper yesterday, I tried to read the 120 pages, but I couldn't get hold of everything. But it was horrendous. I was speaking to Radio Humberside yesterday on in Yorkshire, and we were talking about 120 pages of gobbledygook, Brexit.
Yeah.
It means absolutely nothing, because the stuff they're talking about in terms of the border hadn't been devised yet. This technology, it's 20 years down the line.
You asked earlier about the media, but I'm going to go back to politics. We're talking here now in this OBU outside in Milltown Malbay, right?
Mm.
And we're fierce worried about Brexit, okay? Mm. And Great Britain is beginning to really see it as a pain in the bum, really, and they're worried about it, and begin to think, oh, maybe we've done the wrong thing. But the rest of Europe doesn't really care that much. That's what we don't get, you know, we English speakers. Yeah, the rest of Europe doesn't care as much about Brexit as they do about the refugees who are coming in all along the south, and those who aren't coming in, and the crisis for trying to cope with those who are already here and have no papers and no jobs and no asylum. And that's a much bigger issue for most of Europe than Brexit.
I really quickly, as you mentioned what people care about, I'll just briefly talk about the news this week that Michael D. Higgins is to seek a second term in the office of Stay With Yourself, Rosemary. Do people care about that?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, like, going back to Mary Robinson, you know, she brought something to the presidency and Mary McAleese after, and Michael Dee has been a great president. I think he's, I've always had a soft spot for him. I think he's a fine mind. And he's, you know, spoken out on a few issues. But he should have said last year, you know what, I'd really like to have the job, and spared us all of
but
this.
That's,
going on for a
that's
year.
That's not politics, though.
But it's flirting. It's kind of, it's kind of like, do you really want me? You know, tell me you want me and I'll stay. And now we're going to have the expense of an election, and I'm sorry. But at my age and stage, I'm kind of thinking, does the country really need that? I'd rather see a few houses being built for it than have another election. He's done a good job. Leave him stay another 7 years and get on with it.
Obviously, if there are people to go against him, Bob, then there has to be an election, regardless of what the bookies say in terms of what the outcome might be. What do you make of what Rosemary has said? I mean, you can easily make an argument that Michael D. Higgins has gamed the system to his own benefit.
Yeah, I suppose you could. I'm not one who's opposed to elections. I'm a Republican and I'm a Democrat, unlike Plato, who was a Republican.
Even for the office of president, which is largely figurehead?
Oh, I think it's a very important figurehead. You look at the recent president, it's much more important than that. And I just have to ask, what do any of these people who are putting themselves forward, if they didn't put themselves forward, there wouldn't be another election, what have they got to offer that's better than the present president?
Well, is it not up to them in their campaign once they get on the ticket to make that argument?
That's fine. I mean, I wish if every country in the world had a president who was a scholar and a poet, we'd have a much better world.
I just wonder though, John, I mean, the last election 7 years ago was particularly better. There's no two ways about it. But that was different. You had to have an election. Mary McAleese had served her 14 years. But then this could turn that way as well. I mean, that was there is a bit of a history in presidential elections of them being a bit nasty.
There is, yeah. I mean, I think Michael Dee, I mean, I'm a big fan, I must say. When he visited Buckingham Palace and he was there with the Queen, Prince Philip, it was like he was visiting his sister. And he's unbelievable as a president. He's been a great ambassador of all presidents. I mean, as an Irish person living in England, going back to Mary Robinson, Mary McLeish, and all the rest of it, and Bertie Ahern. I know people wouldn't maybe thank me for saying it,
but he was president. Is that what you're saying?
Well, he was a fantastic ambassador for Ireland. I mean, people underestimate what it means. When you see somebody like Mr. Higgins walk in, my wife's a great judgment of character, she says. She had a photograph taken with him and she thinks he's the best person in the world to lead Ireland. She said he should be there forever and ever, amen.
A great judge of character because she chose you, Dan, is it?
But he is. I think he's a fantastic ambassador for Ireland. And I think putting somebody up against him is, to me, it's the wrong thing to do. I mean, take it on the chin, say, look, I'll wait 7 years and then I'll go for the job. I would give him a free rein, and I'll tell you what, he's done a great job for Ireland, and long may he carry on doing it.
I suppose, I don't know if people really want the vote, I suppose, and you're articulating that, and it's not necessarily because the result is a fait accompli, but maybe perhaps more that they don't see the difference this will make, and Rosemary put it well, she'd rather see the expense of an election going to building a few houses.
But I think sometimes people want a choice made, and they want people to go out there and, you know, have their say. That's what it's about sometimes. Yeah. I mean, if you look at sort of certain elections in, say, the Speaker in the House of Commons in the UK, I mean, really, they should go out of the election, there should be nobody standing against him. There always is. There's always somebody from the far right, the far left, or whatever. It's just there. And it legitimises the post, I suppose. I don't know. But I think maybe sometimes people do want to have
their say. You have to leave it open.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back with more in a couple of minutes. You're listening to Morning Focus here on Clare FM.
If we only tell you one side, then you're only getting half the news. Both sides first. Morning Focus on Clare FM. Clare FM's Morning Focus with Gavin Grace.
Of your comments this morning with regards to Brexit, surely enough people in the UK have signed the referendum petition. That's from Trudy. Another person as well would like to see another referendum over there. I'm asked to give a shout out to the staff of Spree, offering excellent childcare in Milton Malbay, employing around 15 staff and always seem to get around the water outages. Well done. An issue here. Happy to highlight it this morning. And after John Constantine said he wouldn't like to see an election for the office of president, somebody's wondering if you believe in dictatorships.
No, I don't. Not this week.
Not this week. If you did live in a dictatorship, maybe there might have been a different result in the soccer. Bob Vernon.
The soccer?
Football was coming home, but now the team are without the World Cup.
First of all, England did better than they'd done for years and years and years. I think we've got the best coach we've had for years and years. I think to have...
Is he good or is he lucky?
No, I think he's good. I mean, a very positive report. He's a very thoughtful man. Mm. And he unites the team and he's brought on a young team. I think we did as well as we could ever have done. Croatia were brilliant. They absolutely deserved to win that match. But, and if we'd got through it, we'd have been destroyed by France.
But you beat nobody. Without being blunt here, I mean, Sweden and Colombia are okay teams. Yeah. Panama and Tunisia would be...
We did as well as we could. So yeah, I have no partisan, no nationalism flag waving here. It's only a game of football.
What I really want to talk about, though, is how the people of Ireland have viewed this. And as an Englishman living here, what do you make of that? Because over the years, let's be blunt, we've often had situations where Irish people would support anybody who's facing the English, and that can still be the case.
I'd say with the Scots and the Welsh.
Yeah, of course. has it been different?
I simply don't know. I mean, I wasn't paying enough attention. I was in England until last week.
Fair enough.
I wasn't paying enough attention to it, to be perfectly honest.
That's okay. Well, appreciate that. Rosemary, has it come across your book?
I have no interest in soccer, Gavin, but there was a not, but there was, I know, it's gender stereotyping, but there was an awful lot on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, even. People photographing themselves, looking delighted, and putting big smileys on. And I was surprised because I don't know that, like... younger people really remember or know the history or anything. They might sing a song or whatever, but haven't have a notion. I mean, I had a student this year, obviously I teach media and not history, but the student had decided to write an essay on media coverage of the Troubles in the North, and it was a very wide question. And he wrote, when the Irish government invaded the North in order to take it back from the Brits... So I said to myself, maybe they don't really know. And I was amazed. And when I looked at what was on, you know, the bit of social media that I see, I said, God, there's an awful lot of it there still. And, you know, it's kind of ugly. It's time to kind of get over that. And one of the reasons this is a big issue for me is that we need to reinstate history in schools instead of making it a choice for junior cert. Yes. If people don't know their past, they're only going to keep repeating the mistakes of the past. And if you look, going back to Brexit and going back to the refugee crisis in Europe, you know, if people don't know how those things happen, they're going to keep happening and people are going to continue to suffer. And we're moving back to this fantastic match in France, the magazine, photo of Hungarian refugees in, what was it, 1956?
Yes.
And it's side by side with refugees arriving in Lesbos, in Greece still. And it's the same thing, you know.
We keep making
the same mistakes. And if we don't teach our children history, how can they change the future?
It's an important point, but it's a strange answer to the question as to whether the people of Ireland are disappointed whether England haven't reached the World Cup final or not.
To be Gavin, you know, I don't answer your question. I think unfortunately there's an ugly side to us too. We do love to see the Brits be beaten. But England.
But yeah. I don't know how strong that is. I do feel it's a bit different this time. John.
I think it is. I mean, people forget that. When you get to the World Cup, remember, you're one of 32 teams in the world. Mm. So you must have been reasonably good to get there. Now, Ireland didn't get there, Wales didn't get there, and Scotland didn't get there. So come on.
So we had to do something, is it?
Yeah.
To show for someone.
But Harry Kane, his family come from Galway. You know, there was a connection there. Straight away, his father moved over to Walthamstow so that he could go to the academy to become a good footballer. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I think his mother originally, or her family, come from Limerick. And, you know, this Harry Maguire comes from Hull, a sort of a place in the north. There was 8 Yorkshire people playing for that team. They came through with Gareth from under-21s, so they'd been together for an enormous amount of time. They didn't do well, but they didn't play the last game properly, because if they had played it properly, they would have put a different player on. They would have marked Modric, marked him out of the game to make sure and played 10 against 10. They didn't do that, unfortunately. So the tactics for the last game were wrong. They did well, but they could have won the game. And by the way, I'm going to Spain tomorrow to watch the World Cup final. in Spain, and I thought they'd be there against France. And I think if England had been there against France, I think England would have won.
It would have been an amazing event they were. Even if you are somebody who would have liked to see them lose.
Yeah.
I think I think England have made it a better World Cup either way, because they've given you know, people might be listening to this asking
why Russia have been good, haven't they, Kevin? In fairness, I mean, I was amazed at the hospitality, the way the local people treated and it was very, very, very good. And in spite of Putin and all the things that have been said about him, I think the people of Russia made a real effort, and I think they pulled it off.
France to win Sunday?
Who knows?
Who knows, yeah.
I mean, really?
Modric was absolutely... That player, he's an absolute genius. Yeah. He defended, he was in midfield, he was up front, and you know what I mean? He was brilliant. Absolutely. It's no wonder he's been overshadowed by Ronaldo at Real Madrid, but he's a fantastic player.
Absolutely.
Absolutely fantastic.
I'll give for you, as a fellow Yorkshireman, yes, but actually, if we just played Spurs, we probably would have won.
Look, we'll leave it there, and we've enjoyed the World Cup, and as I said at the start, over 1.1 million people watched that on RT alone, so there is strong interest in it here in Ireland, no doubt. Rosemary Day and John Constantine and Bob Vernon, thank you all for joining us this morning. We'll do it again sometime soon. Before we take a break, I want to give you our competition. We've teamed up with the Burn Food Trail to give you a chance to go along to next Thursday's John Blake Dillon event in Ballyvaughan, a night of artisan local food history and entertainment, a dinner extravaganza at Burn Fine Wine and Food. There will be oysters, canapes, entertainment, indoors. You'll meet the producers, you'll have fun, you'll meet people, you'll stay overnight at the Highlands Hotel in Ballyvaughan, and you'll head along to the Alwi Cave and Birds of Prey Centre. It's an experience for two people that we're giving away to one winner, and it could be you. We've got four daily finalists. We need our fifth. Just text the word Burn, your name and where you are, please. 086 1800 964. We're here in Milltown Malby for School Sarah Willie Clancy. We have to have some music before we go. We'll do that next.
Clare FM's Morning Focus, the voice of the Banner County.